Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are diving headfirst into a pretty critical vulnerability in SonicWall's VPN systems.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
You know, most of our listeners probably use a VPN or know someone who does, at least.
Right.
Especially on public Wi-Fi, you want to keep your activity private.
For sure.
But what if the tool that you're using to stay safe actually has a security flaw?
That's the scary part.
That's a big yikes.
Hey.
So that's what we're going to unpack today. We've got a ton of articles and security advisors all about this.
Yep.
We're going to walk you through everything that's going on and what it means for you, and of course, what you can do about it.
Absolutely. So right off the bat, what's really interesting about this vulnerability is it's not just a small glitch.
Right.
We're talking about a flaw that can let attackers totally bypass authentication.
Yeah.
So just picture this. It's like someone walking into your house and they don't even need a key. That's how much access this vulnerability could potentially give them.
Oh, wow. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
So speaking of keys, SonicWall's a pretty big name in cybersecurity, right? I mean, tons of people and businesses use their firewalls and their VPNs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're one of the leading providers of network security solutions out there.
And now they've discovered this major vulnerability. What's it called again?
It's officially known as CVE-2024-53704.
Okay. CVE-2024-53704.
Got it? And this one affects both their SSL, VPN, and SSH management systems.
Okay. For anyone listening who might not be super tech savvy, can you maybe explain what SSL, VPN, and SSH even are, and why this vulnerability is such a big deal for them?
Sure. So an SSL VPN is basically a secure tunnel that protects your internet traffic when you're online. So think of it this way. It's like sending your data in an armored car instead of just driving it around in a convertible out in the open.
Okay, so it keeps your data under wraps.
Exactly. Now, SSH management is a little different. It's more about giving administrators the ability to control devices on a network remotely.
Okay, so this vulnerability affects both how regular users connect securely and how admins manage the systems themselves.
Exactly. And the potential consequences are pretty serious here. This vulnerability has a severity score of 8.2.
Out of 10,
which is really high. So that basically means attackers could potentially use this to steal your sensitive data, take control of systems, or even launch further attacks from inside a network.
So it's not just one thing they can do with it.
Yeah, well, it kind of opens the floodgates.
Oh, that's unsettling.
It's a bit of a cybersecurity nightmare for sure.
Definitely a nightmare. So who exactly is at risk here? I mean, is this just businesses, or are everyday people like me using VPNs at risk too?
So basically anyone using SonicWall firewalls with certain firmware versions could be vulnerable. That includes Gen 66.5, Gen 7, and TZ80.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Gen 66.5, Gen 7, and TZ80.
Yeah, if you're using one of those, you're going to want to keep listening.
Definitely. So it's not just companies with big secrets to protect. It's also about everyday folks and their personal information, right?
Yeah, for sure. We're talking about things like your banking details, passwords, emails, all that good stuff.
All the stuff you definitely don't want getting out there.
Exactly. And think about all the things you do online. Online shopping, banking, accessing your work files, all of that data could potentially be exposed through this vulnerability.
Okay, so we've got a critical vulnerability potentially affecting tons of users. The fallout could be pretty bad. Before I spiral, can you explain what an authentication bypass actually means?
Right, so an authentication bypass basically means that an attacker could gain access to the network without needing any login credentials at all.
So it doesn't even matter if you have a super strong password.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like a hacker found a backdoor to your system. They can just skip past all the usual security checks.
Oh, man, that's scary. It's like leaving your front door wide open.
Exactly. This flaw makes the whole authentication process ineffective.
Yikes. And SonicWall found more than just this one vulnerability, right?
You're right. They actually found three more. And they all come with their own risks. So you're not just dealing with one weak spot in your defenses. You're dealing with
multiple doors left open.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay, well, let's talk about them. What are we looking at here?
Okay, so one of them, CVE-2024-40762, involves what we call a weak pseudo-random number generator. It's used in the SSL VPN authentication process.
Pseudo-random number generator, that sounds complicated.
It sounds a lot more complex than it actually is. You know how we're always told to make strong random passwords? Well, a pseudo-random number generator is what's responsible for creating those random elements that make up your password. But the issue here is that the generator's not as random as it should be.
So it's like a password that looks really complicated at first glance, but actually follows a predictable pattern.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And if an attacker can figure out the pattern, they can essentially predict the tokens used for authentication.
So they can bypass the security.
Yeah, they basically have the key to the lock.
So it's not just about the strength of your password, it's also about the system generating it being truly random.
Right. If the randomness isn't truly random, then the whole system is compromised.
Makes sense. Okay, so we've got one that bypasses authentication altogether and another that weakens the randomness of security tokens. What about the other two?
Okay, the next one's called CVE-2024-53705, and this one's a server-side request forgery vulnerability, or SSRF for short.
Okay, SSRF, got
And
it.
this one's found in SonicOS SSH management. So picture this. You've got someone who's already inside your house, but they're only allowed in a specific room. This SSRF vulnerability is basically like giving them the key to unlock the other rooms and move freely throughout the house.
Oh, so even if they're already logged in, they can escalate their privileges and access areas they shouldn't.
Exactly.
That's not good. What about the last one?
Okay, so the last one is CVE-2024-53706, and this one's a privilege escalation flaw, and this one's specific to SonicOS Cloud NSV, specifically the AWS and Azure editions.
Okay, so Cloud NSV, AWS, Azure. Can you break all of that down for us?
Sure. Basically, it refers to virtual firewalls. So these firewalls are running in cloud environments like Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure, and those are becoming pretty popular with businesses these days.
Okay, so it's a cloud-based issue.
Right. And with this vulnerability, someone who's already authenticated could potentially gain the highest level of privileges,
Which are
root privileges.
root privileges. So is that like having the master key to the whole system?
Exactly. They'd be able to modify system files, install all sorts of nasty software, even delete important data. It's like giving them complete control over the whole network.
Oh, man. Okay, so that's four vulnerabilities, each with the potential for some really serious consequences. This is starting to feel like a digital house of cards just waiting to collapse. But before we all panic, tell me, what can people actually do to protect themselves?
Well, the good news is that SonicWall has already released updated firmware versions that fix all of these flaws. So the most important thing is to update any affected devices immediately.
Update. Got it.
It's like finally putting a strong lock on your front door.
What if someone can't update right away? Let's say they're on vacation or their IT department is slow to roll out the patch. What else can they do to mitigate the risks?
One important thing is to restrict access to the SSL VPN and the SSH management.
How do you do that?
You can configure the firewall to only allow connections from trusted IP addresses.
So it's like having a digital bouncer at the door, only letting in people on the list.
Exactly. It makes it a lot harder for attackers to even try to exploit these vulnerabilities.
Okay, makes sense. Any other precautions people should take?
Well, if a system doesn't absolutely need SSL, VPN, or SSH access, it's best to disable those services entirely. You know, why leave a door open if no one needs to use it?
Right. Less is more when it comes to vulnerabilities.
Definitely. And one more thing. Review your permissions and make sure they're tight. Only the people who absolutely need access to certain systems or data should have the privileges to access them.
So not just locking the doors, but making sure only the right people have the keys. Great advice. I'm definitely taking notes here.
It's also a good idea to review those permissions on a regular basis. Sometimes people change roles or projects end, and those access privileges might not be needed anymore. It's just good practice to stay on top of who has access to what.
Definitely. These are all great steps people can take to protect themselves. But this whole situation's got me thinking, is there anything else we can learn from these vulnerabilities?
That's a really good question, and it's something we're going to dive into in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, so stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We'll be exploring the broader implications of these vulnerabilities for all sorts of different organizations, and we'll also discuss some best practices for making a more secure digital future.
It's going to be good.
All right, so we'll be back soon with part two of our deep dive into the SonicWall SSL VPN vulnerabilities. See you then.
Welcome back to the deep dive.
All right, so we've talked about what these vulnerabilities are, how they work, but what does it actually look like when they get exploited?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Can you give us some real-world examples?
Sure. Let's imagine a small business, let's say a local bookstore, and they're using a SonicWall firewall for their Wi-Fi and their point-of-sale system.
Yeah, something everyone can relate to. A nice cozy bookstore, the smell of old books, and a hacker lurking on the network.
Right. So if this bookstore hasn't patched this authentication bypass flaw, an attacker could easily get into their systems, And we're not just talking about snooping on internet traffic here. They could get access to customer data, credit card transactions, employee records, even financial information.
So it could ruin them.
Yeah, the damage could be huge for a small business.
Okay, so small businesses are vulnerable. What about larger organizations?
Well, with larger organizations, the stakes get even higher.
Obviously.
You're talking about companies with more complex networks, tons of sensitive data, financial records, intellectual property, huge customer databases.
A hacker's dream.
Pretty much. And because there are so many interconnected systems, an attacker could move around undetected for a while, causing all kinds of problems.
What kind of problems are we talking about?
I mean, think about it. Disruption to their operations. Their stock price could plummet. There could be legal ramifications. It's a worst-case scenario.
It's a PR nightmare.
Definitely. And it's not just businesses that we need to worry about. Schools, hospitals, government agencies.
All vulnerable.
Yeah. And with the consequences could be even worse.
What do you mean?
I mean, healthcare records being compromised, critical infrastructure being disrupted, confidential government information being leaked.
Oh, man, this is sounding really bad. It seems like anyone using these vulnerable SonicWall systems is a sitting duck.
Yeah, it's not a great situation.
So what can be done about it? I know we talked about patching, but is there anything else?
Well, patching is definitely the most important thing.
Right.
But it's also about having a layered security approach.
Yeah.
So think about your house. You wouldn't rely on just one lock on your front door, would you?
No. You want an alarm system, some motion sensors, maybe a guard dog.
Exactly. So in addition to patching, organizations need to really assess their security.
See where the holes are.
Yeah, find those weak spots and fix them before the attackers do.
So it's like a checkup for your network.
Basically. And strong access controls are really important.
What do you mean?
So limiting who has access to what, multi-factor authentication, regular audits of permissions.
So even if an attacker gets past one layer of security, they'll run into another one.
Right. It's all about making it as difficult as possible for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's good old-fashioned security awareness training.
For employees.
Yeah, teaching them how to spot phishing emails, create strong passwords, report anything suspicious.
Yeah, make it part of the company culture.
Exactly. A culture of security where everyone knows how important it is.
So it's not just about the technology, it's about the people too.
It's everything. And incident response plans are crucial.
If something does happen, you know what to do.
Right. Minimizing the damage.
So you're prepared.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got your security audits and penetration testing.
So basically, hiring ethical hackers to try and break into your system.
Exactly. It's like a stress test for your security.
Yeah. Okay. All of this sounds great, but I'm sure smaller organizations are probably feeling a little overwhelmed. They might not have the resources or expertise to do all of this.
That's a valid point.
It's expensive.
Yeah, security can be. But there are solutions for smaller businesses too.
Like what?
Well, you've got managed security service providers or MSSPs.
MSSP.
They offer expertise and support for things like monitoring, patching, and incident response.
So smaller companies can get that enterprise-grade security without breaking the bank.
Exactly. And there's also the power of collaboration.
What do you mean?
Information sharing, threat intelligence platforms. It's all about working together to stay ahead of the bad guys.
Cybersecurity is a team sport.
It is. Sharing knowledge and best practices helps everyone. So zooming out for a second, what are the bigger takeaways from all of this? What can we learn from these SonicWall issues?
What should our listeners be thinking about?
Well, I think it shows us that no system is perfect. There will always be vulnerabilities.
And new threats.
Yeah, constantly evolving. So it's not a question of if you'll be targeted.
Well, when?
Exactly. So we need to shift from being reactive to being proactive.
Always be prepared.
Yes. Always updating systems,
yeah.
Training employees, staying vigilant, making security part of everything you do.
The security first mindset.
That's it. And that brings us to a bigger question. How do we build a more secure future? Not just for organizations, but for individuals too.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's a perfect transition to the final part of our deep dive.
Right.
Where we'll explore some forward-looking ideas and practical tips for everyone.
We'll be talking about how to create a culture of security awareness, the role of new technologies, and empowering people to protect themselves.
Stay tuned for part 3, where we'll shift from defense to empowerment. We're back for the final part of our deep dive. And we're talking about how to build a more secure future, not just for businesses, but for everyone.
Yeah, it's time to move from defense to empowerment.
I love that. So where do we even begin? I think it starts with education. We teach kids about staying safe in the real world.
Uh-huh.
Why not teach them about staying safe online, too?
Absolutely.
It should be like a core part of digital literacy.
It really should.
Imagine if we taught kids from a young age how to spot those phishing scams, create those strong passwords,
Yeah.
protect their personal information online.
It would make such a huge difference.
It really would. It'd be like teaching them how to cross the street safely.
Right, but for the internet.
Exactly. But it can't just be about memorizing a bunch of rules.
No.
We need to help them develop critical thinking skills so they can navigate the online world safely, responsibly.
Right, like teaching them to question suspicious emails.
Yeah.
Be wary of offers that sound too good to be true. Really engage that inner skeptic.
That's so important. And this education, it can't just stop at schools.
Well,
We need to empower people of all ages, all backgrounds,
Yeah.
to protect themselves online.
Absolutely. And technology can help with this too.
What do you mean?
I mean, we're seeing some really interesting things happening with AI.
Okay.
AI-powered threat detection,
Right.
passwordless authentication, some really promising stuff.
So technology can be a part of the solution, not just the problem.
Exactly. And there are so many great tools already out there for people to use.
Right, what?
Password managers,
All right.
VPNs, security software.
So people can take their digital security into their own hands without having to be some kind of tech genius.
Exactly. And as these tools get easier to use, more and more people will use them.
Now, we also need to talk about the role of governments in all of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Governments and policymakers play a crucial role.
How so?
Well, they can set standards,
Okay.
promote cybersecurity education,
Right.
support research and development.
Yeah, things like legislation that encourages companies to handle data responsibly, initiatives to train more cybersecurity professionals.
Right. It's about making sure that innovation and security go hand in hand.
I like that. And international cooperation is so important too, right?
It's huge.
I mean, cybercrime, it doesn't stop at borders.
It's a global issue.
So we need to work together to fight it.
Exactly. Sharing information,
Right.
coordinating our efforts, holding cyber criminals accountable.
It's a global problem that needs a global solution.
For sure.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the main things you want our listeners to take away from all of this?
Okay, so number one, stay informed. Keep learning about cybersecurity threats and best practices.
Right.
Knowledge is power. Number two, be proactive. Don't wait for something to happen.
Take action now.
Yes. And number three, cybersecurity, it's not a one-time thing.
It's ongoing.
Yeah, it's a journey. The threats are always changing, so we need to stay vigilant.
And adapt.
Yep.
Awesome. And remember, you don't have to do this alone.
Right.
There are tons of resources out there,
Yeah, truly.
communities you can join, experts you can talk to.
And we're here to help too.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the SonicWall SSL VPN vulnerabilities. Stay safe out there, everyone.
And stay curious.
We'll see you next time.